Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, I bring Bugalicious onto your plate as we go to the student cook-off competition at Montana State University Bozeman. The cook-off opens the week of workshops in celebration of the 31st annual Bug Buffet. We meet Dr. Florence Dunko, Chefs Joseph Yoon and Marcy Gaston, and some of the students cooking up insects. Here at Hannon Hall at 11 o'clock this Saturday morning, we're stepping into the industrial kitchen used by the Culinary Arts Program. We talk to Chef Marcy Gaston, Assistant Teaching Professor in Hospitality Management. This is the second annual Bug Cook-Off. A few years back, you decided that this cook-off was going to take place. So what was all the thinking behind this?
Well, the thinking behind it came along with the Bug Buffet, which last year was in its 30th year. So the Bug Buffet is an annual event. And they wanted to add on more events during the week.
When does the Bug Buffet take place?
February 14th this year.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, yes. So last year we just wanted to go ahead and add a couple more things. We wanted to have more student involvement. And so we have this new hospitality program along with the culinary arts program. So we thought, why not utilize the kitchen that we have here and maybe pull in some students to see if what they can do with insects. So that's how it all came about.
So what insects would the students be cooking with?
So we have crickets and we have black ants and grasshoppers.
And right now it's around 11 o'clock and you have about two teams in here. What is going to happen in the next couple of hours before the actual cook-off takes place?
Over the next couple hours, the students are going to come in and they're going to start setting up their stations. They might actually practice a few of their meals. If they want to try something out before the actual cook-off starts, we allow them to do that. This is a new uncharted territory for a lot of them, so they don't really know how to cook with insects. So if they want to practice, they can do that during this time.
So they really have not had a trial run. And what they're going to be presenting is they're going to be presenting an entree and a dessert.
Yes, an entree and dessert with insects.
This should be really interesting. All right, there are a lot of preconceptions, and students are not exposed to many different foods, and I would imagine that insects are the most difficult to convince students to use as an ingredient, cook with, and then taste. How did you go about courting them into pursuing this and actually executing it in the kitchen?
Well, from hospitality management or a culinary student, it was, are you creative and are you adventurous? That was the main question to them. And so if they are like courageous eaters, then yeah, they'll actually be on board with this. The other students that we have on campus are actually from a class where they're learning about entomology, so they're learning about insects. So now they learn about it from the scientific aspect, and now they're going to learn about actually like cooking with the edible insects. So it kind of pulls it together for them.
So have they actually tasted the ingredients they're going to be working with today?
A lot of them have. So we were able to let them try some of the insects. We met with them last night, so we discussed flavor profiles. So black ants have a citrusy flavor. Crickets are a little bit more nutty. Grasshoppers, the only way we could describe grasshoppers was they taste like grasshoppers, which is very odd.
The insects. So there's all this little hesitation. How do you know these insects are safe to eat?
We make sure that they're coming from a good source. So our sanitarian on campus actually approves all the insects that come in. So we know that they're coming from a viable source.
Next, we step out of the kitchen to sit down with the founder of the Bug Buffet, Dr. Florence Dunko, Associate Professor of Entomology in the Department of Entomology. Well, Dr. Dunko, thank you so much for sitting down and talking to me.
Well, I'm glad to be here. This is a very exciting day. It's going to be an exciting week, too.
Well, you've been an advocate for bringing insects into the kitchen and then onto the plate for many, many years. Unfortunately, most Americans can be hesitant about bringing insects into their daily eating.
When we speak about people who don't normally eat insects, those are Euro-Americans mainly. There's at least 60 species of insects that have been used historically and are used now by Native Americans and Hispanic people in the United States, and mainly in the Great Basin, which is just a little bit to the west of us here in Bozeman.
Dr. Dunko gives a more specific example of Americans eating insects.
My favorite story is the Ute Native Americans who lived around the Great Salt Lake, and they noticed that there were some pioneers who came. The first year, the pioneers lost their crops from drought and then I think from insects. And so those pioneers went to the Ute and asked them if they could help. So the Ute made prairie cakes, and the pioneers survived, and they're still living around the Great Salt Lake, mainly in Salt Lake City. Those are the Mormon people. And so the Mormons asked them what was in those prairie cakes. And they said, well, we use service berries and just wild animals and plants and berries that we collected. And the main ingredient was a katydid, which they now call the Mormon cricket.
For Dr. Dunkel, how did her love of eating insects begin?
When I was a postdoc in Minnesota, I taught after school a pond study, it was called, and we ate everything that occurred around the pond. And so I would buy cans of grasshoppers, and they were okay, but not that exciting. But the time I really got into eating grasshoppers, or locusts they were, was when I worked in Rwanda, East Africa, and it was a locust plague, and so the kids were selling bags of live locusts, and because they were good to eat. And so I took them back. I was staying at the Meridian, and I took them back to the chef, and he presented me with this plate of beautiful red locusts, and they were delicious. They tasted like soft-shelled crabs, and I was hooked at that point. So that was in the middle 80s, and when I took the department headship here in entomology, I decided that I would teach this course in insects, the issues of insects in human societies, and I would try serving insects. And that was the first bug buffet. We only had a pound of butter and a big, big bag of live grasshoppers, which we froze and then used and fried in the classroom. And they were all Montana grasshoppers. They were raised at the USDA Agricultural Research Service grasshopper lab.
So in the United States, and there's always the stipulations presented by the USDA and the FDA, how does one secure or procure insects to consume?
Well, now there is actually a procedure you have to go through to obtain a food quality insect. You can't just go to a lab that's growing grasshoppers. You have to go to a company or a farm that passes food quality criteria. So the food, the water has to be human quality water, potable water, and the food has to be the same, of course. So human quality food, and they have to be handled in a very clean way. So we now have 5 cricket farms in Montana, and it's gone from 0 to 5 in about 2 years. So we're in an exponential growth curve right now. I think in 2012 was about valued at about $12 million, and now it's valued in 2022 to be at something like $553 million. So it's rapidly, it's exponentially increasing. And it's because I've been watching this and helping the world go through this period of dark ages, being the editor of the Food Insect Newsletter, that was spread to about 1,000 subscribers in, I don't know, about 60 countries in the world. I've been able to watch this. I can tell it's right now a very incredible growth, very amazing.
Well, is your recommendation that we don't just run out into the backyard and try to catch a cricket and try to consume it? Or what are the precautions that one needs to take?
Okay, well, I do that. We have an organic vegetable garden, and we have a fairly, I don't know, we have about 5 acres. And so we catch grasshoppers out there. They're hard to do. It takes a lot of effort, but I love grasshoppers. And right now, there's no place in the United States that's easy to buy grasshoppers. So I really like to go out and get what I can. But I routinely eat cricket bars. I really like those. And Bozeman started selling them, let's see, about 4 years ago.
Can you describe to the listener what a cricket bar is? Is it like a granola bar?
No, there's different kinds on the market. The ones I like are chapul bars because they're made with date paste. They come in different flavors, and they're just very delicious.
Aside from bugs tasting good and providing protein and other nutrients, Dr. Dunko shares.
The other thing to remember is that it's not just about good nutrition. It's about environmental sustainability. This is a huge, huge issue. And not only are insects delicious, but if we don't begin to include them in our diet or bring them back into our diet because they are a paleo food, then we won't really be able to survive very well. We have to reduce our carbon footprint, but we have to reduce our footprint of agriculture right now. And we can do that by beginning to include insects in our diet and in the feed for our domestic animals, too. And to give you an example with some numbers, if we raised a pound of beef, edible beef, we would be using 2,600 gallons of water. And this includes, of course, the water used to grow the food. If we'd be raising a pound of edible insects, we would require 1 gallon. That's a difference of 2,600.
So what are some of Dr. Dunkel's favorite edible insects?
I particularly like wax moth larvae. They're a soft-bodied larva. They're not very sclerotized, so they're easy to incorporate into baked goods and fritters and a lot of things. They don't have a lot of specific taste, but you can make like a shrimp cocktail out of them once you boil them. It's very delicious, actually. And they're available commercially, too. We don't have a lot of insects that are available commercially yet in the United States. To grow a farm with insects, mass culture insects, there are certain insects that work better than others. And so we have about 3 different species of crickets right now. We have the wax moth larvae. We have mealworms, which are actually beetle larvae. They're a stored product insect in which we eat the larva, which is interesting. They used to eat our grain. Now we know it's more nutritious to skip the grain and eat the insects that were eating the grain, which is pretty interesting.
So for those who are squeamish and hesitant about eating insects, what is your recommendation for these people?
Okay, well, first of all, we all eat insects, even if we're vegetarian, and we have enjoyed insects. How many of you have eaten fig Newtons? Fig Newtons, by definition, are full of fig wasps because the fig is an inside-out flower, and it traps the fig wasps after they pollinated the flowers that are inside the fig. And so you never know they're there. They're not the crunchy thing that you crunch. Those are seeds when you eat a fig. So that's one insect that we eat all the time. We also eat insects in frozen spinach, in tomato paste, in ketchup, in almost all of our foods because they're there.
Because, like, for instance, aphids may be in our spinach that we don't know about.
We can't see them. They're so small. It's like the fig wasps. They're transparent.
Before we step back into the kitchen and find out what's happening there, Dr. Dunko shares what was served at the first bug buffet.
Okay, so I think the first one was, of course, a pound of butter and a big pile of Melanopus sanguinipes, which was a common grasshopper in Montana. That was pretty simple. But then as time went on, we began to add dishes. We added brownies, we did a southern fritter, whatever the teaching assistants of the course were specialties in, we did that. So we had some tacos, we began a quesadilla, and then we had an Indian curry for my Indian teaching assistant. But the job of the teaching assistant was to prepare the insect. We pulled the gut out and we took the heads off. And it took a long time, sometimes all night, those teaching assistants worked. And then we cooked in the classroom. And this went on until 2012, actually, when I received an award from the university. And I took the whole award and gave the money to the catering service, the MSU Culinary Services, and then they used my recipes and they cooked. It was wonderful to just come and have them have the food there presented very beautifully. And then we began to bring in people that were specialties from around the United States and Canada. And the first one was Patrick Crowley, who produced Chapul bars, and he was supported by the College of Business and was here as an entrepreneur in residence for 1 week. And at that moment, 2015, the Bug Buffet became not just the buffet, but it became a week-long event that the whole university participated in.
From Florence Dunko, we now talk to Chef Joseph Yoon from Brooklyn Bugs, whose mission is to introduce edible insects as a sustainable source of protein that can be found in the pantry, eaten as a snack, and beautifully plated by chefs. In other words, he is the bug ambassador. Yoon is here at MSU Bozeman to share how to cook with bugs and is the expert and cheerleader for students competing in the cook-off. Let's begin with getting to know Chef Yoon.
I started working as a chef 8 years ago, and I actually was working in the music industry, and I got a little burnt out, and I wanted to do something I loved, and so I just started throwing pop-up events, and amazingly, I had great supporters and champions of my work, and I was able to make a complete career change, and I've very happily been cooking now for 8 years.
Well, then there's the bugs now that have become key ingredients in your cooking. How did that come about?
Well, a friend of mine who is an artist asked if I would participate in an art project with her. And it didn't take me long to find out about the UN's report that addressed the issue of food scarcity and sustainability. And their answer to address those issues were with edible insects. And so a great part of the motivation behind my work addresses these issues, and it's a little off-putting to think that you're going to save the world by eating insects, but the fact that that is one of the cornerstones of what motivates my work is very meaningful to me.
Though insects are readily available to us in our great outdoors, Chef Yoon shares his precautions.
Well, it's a romantic idea to think that you could just go in the backyard and pick up insects, but I live in Brooklyn, New York, and we don't want people out scavenging for insects because of pesticides. It could be even your neighbor that lives like houses down or acres down, depending on where you live. So it's very important for me to source my ingredients through trusted purveyors. Just like as a chef, I have my purveyors for my meat and seafood and produce. I have trusted purveyors that I rely on to provide me with my insects. And they come from all parts of the world as well. I would like to add that if you live in Montana, like we are in right now, and you're in Yellowstone, I would probably say there are areas that are safe to forage and find your insects. Generally, just to make sure there are no pathogens or any risk, we do suggest that you cook all your insects. I mean, I've eaten some without cooking them, but generally to be on the safe side, we do suggest that you cook them though, so.
From the food perspective, and I know that people are super queasy about insects, what is your suggestion for the introductory bug dish that someone should start with?
For some, you want to hide the insect so that they don't even see it, and so you might want to bake it into a cookie or add it into a protein shake. For others, more adventurous eaters, they want to see it because they want to know they're eating the insect, and that's part of the joy of it. For me as a chef, my goal is to like be able to reach out to the diner, and each person is different, so there's no one way that I try to introduce people. But for a lot of the introductory events that I have, I think it's so important to show the diversity and the wide applications of edible insects. So a lot of my dinners are actually 8 to 12 courses, and so it really shows a progression, shows the diversity of how you can apply the edible insects. And so I don't really try to go like, here's one bug, one dish to try to introduce you.
And so what are some of the dishes that Chef Yoon serves up?
Well, a big part of what I'm trying to do is really demonstrate the versatility of the insects and show how there's so many different ways to utilize it. So for example, I might start with like cricket gougères, where I use cricket powder and make like a French cheese puff. And so that's very easy to eat. people that might not want to eat any insects, they could just pop it in their mouth and be like, huh, easy. That's delicious. Wouldn't even know there was a bug if you didn't tell me. And so then it's a general progression that I might make like a mealworm fritter, for example. And depending, sometimes I might want to use some seafood to entice people. So there are times where I even add some lobster to the fritter and have like a lobster mealworm fritter. But it's really the idea of creating a cohesive menu. And a lot of times the insects can increase in their challenge level. And it's really just trying to find a great story. And so there might be a scorpion that I might put on top of like a wonton crisp or something. And it's just like really a fun, interactive, engaging, visceral dinner. And I really just want to be able to appeal to their senses and excite them to want to try a whole assortment of edible insects.
Yoon's enthusiasm is infectious. Let's step back in the kitchen where 10 teams of students are now cooking for the Bug Cook-Off competition. Each team will be preparing an entree and a dessert incorporating black ants, crickets, or grasshoppers. Chef Marcy Gaston and Joseph Yoon start the event.
Just try to stay out of each other's way. It's going to get hectic, so watch where you're walking. So I will give that piece of advice. You have an hour and a half, and time will fly faster than you think. So if you need ovens on, you need to turn them on now, just so they're ready to go. And I hope everybody's set.
This is not about trying to do something that is not fun. An hour and a half does go by quickly, but that is a lot of time. So it's better to work within your means and don't rush, and then you'll start making mistakes and you'll have to double your work. Just take your time, have fun. If you need me, I am here to help you guys. So feel free to call me over, call Chef Marcy over. We're here for you guys. And good luck, everybody. All right, guys. Welcome to the official 31st, it's the 31st annual.
Second annual.
Bug Buffet, but the second annual Bug Cook-Off. Your time starts now, everybody.
Mariah Abbott, a liberal studies major with a minor in museum and Native American studies, is taking Dr. Dunkel's entomology class. She competed in the Bug Cook-Off last year, and with some experience under her belt, she is cooking solo this year. And last year, what did you cook?
Last year, I made a cricket chili with some cornbread, as well as a cricket powder margarita cupcake.
How did you come up with that?
Talking to my mom, actually, and we figured some stronger spices. Sometimes people get a little bit hesitant about eating bugs because they might taste weird. So I was figuring some stronger tastes would help people be more willing to try it.
So how did you come upon bug cooking?
It was actually the Bug Buffet itself. About 4 years ago when I was a sophomore, I came across the Bug Buffet and checked that out, and I really enjoyed it.
So you actually came here and ate at the buffet?
Yes, I did.
And what were some of the dishes that were most striking for you?
One of my favorites was a Galeria larva latke with potatoes. That was one of my favorites. Cricket quesadillas. My second favorite would have to be the cricket pizza that they made.
So I take it that you love to cook.
I do love to cook, and I get that love from my mother.
Well, that's fantastic. So what is some of your strategy today? What are you going to be cooking up?
I think the biggest strategy is time management for me. I'm doing some sushi as well as a ginger cupcake. So time management's going to be the biggest thing, but just making sure I just keep everything going along and get everything nice and pretty.
So before you got here, what are some of the things that they ask you to do?
Mostly just read up on insects and find out what your favorite food is and figure out how to integrate those insects into your favorite foods.
We now go over and talk to Laurel Ates, a student in Dr. Dunkel's insect biology class. Now, have you had insects before her class?
I've never eaten insects before today, so it's going to be kind of an interesting experience, I think.
And what interesting dishes will Laurel and her teammates Rochelle and Carl be preparing?
Today we're going to be making some cricket latkes, and for the dessert we're going to be making a key lime pie with some ant and blackberry reduction.
Then Ben Hale is bringing some bug humor into one of his dishes.
We're making this, and it's called a picnic salad because it has fruit and stuff in it. And then we figured that you can't have a picnic without ants, so we're going to be adding these black ants into it, because they taste like citrus. So it works pretty well, I think, and it should be pretty interesting how it tastes, because even if you don't like the insects, I feel like everyone loves fresh fruit and like a lot of whipping cream. So at the end of the day, I think it'll go over pretty well.
So it's you and your brother. Who's your brother?
My brother's right over there. He's making the omelets for the second part.
Okay.
Which is, we put crickets and then mixed it with green peppers and ham, and then we're just cooking like a classic omelet with it. I mean, if you look at it, it almost just looks like cooked ham. You know, you can't even really tell that there's crickets in there unless you look real close. So.
No, that's true. It does. It does look very.
Chili pepper in there too, so it'll kind of make it a little bit spicier. And both my grandparents raised beef their whole lives, and then we raised pigs our whole lives. So finding out that they're cooking and eating crickets is a crazy topic to me, and I'm still a little squeamish about trying it. But.
Well, I think you're probably taking this pretty seriously, because were one of the first ones in this kitchen, and you were practicing making omelets before anybody else got here.
Right, yeah. We did that because my brother, he's made them before, but it's been a while, so he really wanted to make sure that he got it down so that when it came to this competitive setting, we were ready for it. And so it wasn't like, you know, trying to figure it out or like try and remember it. We knew what to do, so there's a little less hesitation there.
Finally, let's check in with Kobe Burkhart and Henry Pletcher to find out what they are cooking up.
Stuffed peppers with crickets and ants.
And what else is in there?
Cheese and egg and chili powder.
And what would you be making for your dessert?
We're doing a chocolate espresso banana bread with cricket powder on the inside, and then some actual whole crickets just kind of as an extra crunch.
So how long did it take you guys to come up with this menu?
Do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, probably about 5 minutes. I just surfed the web really, really fast, and I just looked up good cricket recipes, which I guess is almost cheating in a way, but that's how I found them.
It's not cheating, it's your resource. Good luck, you guys.
Thank you.
Minutes before the final call of time, the fire alarm went off, and everyone was asked to step outside. We stood out in the cold for about 15 minutes. When we got back in the kitchen, Chef Yoon gave everyone another half hour of time to do final preparations.
All right, wrapping up the last half hour. We're back in the smoke alarm scare. Back in action.
After drawing numbers, each team presented their dishes to three judges. I was one of them, along with Lynn Donaldson and Joseph Yoon. I was impressed by all of the dishes I tasted, but as with most competitions, there was only one winner. Lauren Ates and her team won with their cricket potato latkes with turmeric aioli and key lime meringue pie with blackberry and reduction. Some final words from Dr. Florence Dunkel.
I think it's very important. Edible insects make sense. They did make sense for our prehistoric relatives, and they make sense now. And we need to prepare our faculty, our staff, and our students, and the general public for the future. And the future will be significantly reducing the footprint of agriculture. And I think that this is one way to do that. It's one way. And it is the mission of the land-grant institutions in our country, meaning Montana State University, to prepare their people. We need to prepare the people of our state to understand the deliciousness of insects, but the important environmental significance of including them in our diet.
As Florence Dunkel would say, bug appetit. Theme music for Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been provided by Parker Brown. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.